Happy New Year, my friends. In case you can't tell, this is Chris from the Cultural Center. Today, I'll be filling in for Joel, and I want to give you a little New Year's reflection for all my fellow nerds out there. And don't worry, if you're not a nerd, this will still apply. I think you'll enjoy it.
You're listening to the Life in Deep Ellum podcast, exploring the sacred in art, faith, and community. Thanks for being here.
So, we're coming into a new year, a time where the horizon looks and feels new and fresh. That's even, and maybe especially, true of 2021. You don't need to look far online or elsewhere to hear someone complain about the dumpster fire that was 2020, right? Even on top of COVID, it seems like our tendency towards fighting and arguing, seeing our enemies as less than human, was par for the course this year, or maybe worse, right? Like, our polarization in a few areas seemed only to get worse as the year dragged on. Like, wearing a face mask is controversial, right? Depending on where you live. The Tiger King is innocent. No, wait, he's totally guilty. In all seriousness, it often felt to me like we were all just on edge all the time. Do you know what I mean? I mean, how many strangers' faces could I see in the grocery store? How many times did I come across as grumpy or angry when I was really just trying to stay socially distant from people? And what about social media? I'm a serial avoider of Facebook, especially during particularly volatile times. But I know I probably wrote a few posts on social media here and there that came across as self-righteous, maybe indignant, maybe even like arrogant and prideful. So the question strikes me, what is the appropriate response as a person of faith in this kind of political and cultural climate? A climate where having a different take on something can lead you to be ostracized from your community. Or a climate where genuine pursuit of truth and charity towards outsiders is seen as weak or morally wrong. Well, let's go through a couple of options. Number one, you can keep shouting into the void, right? You can seek ways of gaining power over your political and cultural opponents. And by your cultural opponents, I mean my cultural opponents, right? Like, I do this. I'm fully aware that on my worst days, this is the kind of thing that I do. So let's call option number one the American option. Now, of course, I'm being a little bit facetious, but I think many of you probably have a sense of what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to get too far into this here, but suffice it to say, we've done a really good job of learning how to yell about how right we are or how wrong the other side is. That little jolt of scoring political points can be a pretty potent drug, and we're all a little bit addicted to that sometimes. Okay, so number one, the American option. Number two, we can withdraw from it all. A few years ago, an author named Rod Dreher, that's Dreher, for those of you super interested. He wrote a book called The Benedict Option. In this book, he argues that modern American culture has moved to the point that Christianity is quickly becoming too difficult to live out in an authentic way for lots of different reasons, mostly cultural for him. So he argues that Christians ought to be like the monks during the fall of Rome. In other words, people of faith right now that want to authentically live out their Christianity should build intentional communities to preserve a certain way of life and completely withdraw from society as a whole. So don't get me wrong here. I don't agree with Dreher on this particular issue. I think that can seem appealing, right? Because society seems like it is entering into some kind of apocalyptic era where people like us have to preserve a beautiful way of life. I'm not sure that that's exactly what we're called to as Christians, though. So, number one, the American option, right? Number two, the Benedict option. As a third option, I want to suggest that we take a different approach. So, I heard this counter take to the Benedict option probably sometime this year. It was from an author named Alan Jacobs that I particularly enjoy following. He advocates for something called the Gandalf option. Now, if you've seen Lord of the Rings, you'll know Gandalf. He's the wizened old wizard who helps lead Frodo and his companions to destroy the One Ring in the fires of Mount Doom. Now, don't worry. That's as nerdy as this is going to get. Alan Jacobs, the guy who advocates for the Gandalf option, he bases this whole idea on a short passage from the third book, Return of the King, where Gandalf basically says to a different king that he is a ruler of no realm. His goal isn't power over anyone else. He simply sees his job as being a steward of all of the good and beautiful things in the world, wherever he might find them. Now, at this point in the book, the world is crumbling all around him. War is building up. Distrust has been sown between so many different people. But Gandalf knew that the best thing that he could do moving forward was to find and cultivate that which is good wherever he went. So my question for us is, can we take the same approach this year? Can we reject the American option? Can we reject the Benedict option in favor of the Gandalf option? So often, we believe that we're the right ones and the people on the quote-unquote other side are the bad guys. The ones on the other side of the political divide, right? The ones excluding people we think should be included. The ones who think that the Tiger King is innocent. Are you with me? No, you're not with me. It's okay. And then, so we fight and argue. Or we seek political power over our enemies. Or we build our own exclusive groups in response and completely withdraw from the communities we're called to be a part of. You see, the Gandalf option encourages us to take a different approach. Instead of withdrawing from the world in response to division or hardship, or seeking power over our enemies, we should instead seek after beauty. And when we find those little pockets of goodness, we can simply view it as our responsibility to cultivate a world that looks a little bit more like that. It's the small, seemingly unseen things that create a good world. Not through power over or withdrawal from, but through the slow and faithful cultivation of that which is good. A wise teacher that I do my best to follow, at least on my good days, says it like this: enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That wide gate is really easy to walk through right now. It's easy to feel downcast and discouraged, or angry and resentful, especially if you have known loss and sadness and loneliness this past year. The Gandalf option and the way of Jesus, they share some common ground. So I want to encourage you today. Look for those little pockets of beauty. Sit down with your kids and read a book out loud to them. Go on a walk at White Rock Lake and listen to the sounds of nature. Pray or meditate. Play guitar. Do some yoga. Not as a way of winning or gaining or being your best self or more productive. Just to find the good in this world and join in the project of the beautiful work that God is doing every day, everywhere, all the time. I miss you, friends. Happy New Year.